Okay. Wednesday evening, 6/19/24. Now it's echoing or whatever. We're going to look at this evening preparation for greatness. All right, Psalms 23. Thank you, Jesus. How does it get messed up from Sunday to Wednesday and nobody touches it?
Because I was messing with it.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right, let's read Psalms 23 to you. All right. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, Psalms 23 does not sound like a hard place to be. The shepherd's leading, restoring your soul, that's your mind. He's leading paths of righteousness. Even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you're not walking through the valley of death. It says his rod and his staff are they comfort you. He even prepares you a table. What do you do at a table? You eat. You know, it says, you anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Only goodness and mercy are going to follow me. Let me read something to you. The Lord said this to me this morning, or this is the thought. The Lord indicated to me this morning that we're like kids in the back seat asking every 5 minutes if we are there yet. Remember those days? I can remember having the granddaughters in the back seat, and they were jabbering and carrying on. They like to throw me up the wall. I kept saying, can y'all just be quiet? The journey has seemed so long, and there is pain and distress as the trek gets longer. God is saying to us that he is on the journey with us. And he knows what is going on, even though he seems to be a silent partner in it. He is watching and observing how we are enduring the journey, for he knows the future and what we will face in the future. He wants to make sure that we are all well, or we are well armed for the task he will give us once we reach our destination. Every leader that did anything in the Old or New Testament has seen the trouble you've seen. It's part of the preparation for greatness. Jesus himself had to go through this process before he began his ministry, and again, when he went to bear his cross. But I want you to look at it from a Psalms 23 perspective today. I believe the Lord gave me this change of heart, because so much of the time we get so wrought up in what's going on with us and working it. You understand? Working it. How much toil do we put in trying to get an answer, trying to get something to change? This journey through the valley of the shadow of death does not seem like a bad place. Leading you beside still waters. Not turbulent waves, still waters. Your soul's at peace. How much more easier would the journey be if we were at peace and rest? Do you think it might be easier than just toiling, just spinning, just fretting, trying to get an answer, trying to get something to change? There is a path that we have to walk. And we do have to let the Lord work on us and get us ready to do what He's called us to do. But it's never been a negative. I don't believe it's supposed to be a negative. In fact, I'm done with a negative. How about you? I don't want that. All right, let's go to Luke 4 there. We're going to see what Jesus went through. We're going to see here that God was with him. His spirit was. Verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, Luke 4, 1, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. If the Holy Spirit's leading you, we should trust him, right? Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Do you believe Jesus just responded because he was the Son of God? Or do you think God gave him what to respond? Lord said to me today, you're working awfully hard to try to deliver yourself. Think about that. Are we trying to deliver ourselves? You know, we get religious sometimes when things aren't going the way we want them to go. All the religious stuff kicks in. What's religion? It's working something and the Spirit's not in it. I don't care if it's word of faith. If the Spirit's not in it, you're a work in a work. You're doing it, not God, unless He leads it. Holy Spirit, I believe, was leading Jesus on how to respond in the situation. And the devil taketh him up into a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. He was delivered from evil. He went in, led of the Spirit. Led of the Spirit. Led of the Spirit. He come out, led of the Spirit. And he was delivered. The devil didn't hurt him. The devil didn't touch him. I'm telling you. Psalms 23 is a place of deliverance. Why? God's trying to teach us not to lean to our own understanding and lean to the arm of the flesh to deliver ourselves, even if it's working it. Well, I fasted 4 days, or I prayed in tongues 20 hours. So what? If it's not led of the Spirit, do we just do it to do it? Do we do it because we're led of the Spirit to do it? Do you see what I mean? We're not here to work our works. We're here to work the works of God and learn to be led by the Spirit. That's why Jesus went into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, to learn to follow the Spirit. What is the Spirit saying to do? I don't think Jesus said anything until he was shown what he should say and how he should respond. All right, go to 22, Luke 22. I hope what I bring tonight brings you peace. I hope it brings you rest. It's hot in here. It's very hot in here. All right, can you? All right.
I didn't turn the fan on.
I know. Which one is the fan? All right, 22, verse 39. This is before he was going to go to the cross. And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. When he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye be enter into temptation. Thank God, Jesus is not asking you to die. We're not on this trek and in this time to die. Right here, agony. It means struggle and anguish. Anguish there in the dictionary is just suffering and torment. That's not what he wants. He wants Psalms 23. You can't get any greater in your preparation than to give your life for the world. Jesus made the world great again. It was fallen. It was completely taken over by the evil one until he came. But he's not asking us to do that. Hebrews 12 talks about how what he suffered caused him to learn obedience. It does. But what does suffering mean? It means you learn to put the flesh aside and walk by the Spirit. That's what it is. And that's a good thing. That shouldn't be in agony. It shouldn't put you in anguish. Shouldn't put you in fear. Shouldn't put you in toiling. This is to be a journey of peace. All right. All right. Do you feel the flames? Sometimes it feels hot, doesn't it? Where we're at, where we seem to be walking. But I'm telling you, even though God's fire is a consuming fire, it will not consume you. It's not here to consume you. I want us to get on the positive side of this because it can get negative real quick. Especially when you're going through a hard time. And you don't see any answer. You don't see any answers coming. And you're sitting here trying to figure out, how am I going to do this? I just don't know how I'm going to do this, Lord. And that's when the Lord spoke to me today and he said, I'm not asking you to deliver yourself. I am the one that will deliver you. We can't do enough religious stuff to deliver ourselves. If that were true, Jesus went through the agony. He died for us so that we don't have to be in anguish and struggle, but that we might have peace. Peace be the journey, right? Let peace make the call, right? All right. Let's keep going here. Consuming there means to consume utterly. That's what being tried by fire is. But what is it doing? God's fire burns up what's not profitable in us. What we're going through is the unprofitable things that could be a hindrance to us later is burning out of our lives. It's not to consume you. It talks about a scripture. In fact, this is probably it, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You could say it's a purging. What are all these tests we go through about? Learning to walk by the Spirit and not walk by the flesh. The whole world's walking by the flesh. All right, 1 Corinthians 3, start with 11 there. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So we're learning to walk by the Spirit, and we're learning to obey the Holy Spirit. That's the reason for the test, to learn to follow the Spirit, and not because the flames are hot do we start reacting instead of following the Spirit, trusting the Spirit, that He'll bring us through. He's the one, He's there to deliver us. It can be a positive, not a negative. Okay, now to go to 1 Peter. This is verse 1. Verse 6, it says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. It doesn't seem too good at the moment, but it's a good thing. He's getting us in the position that we need to be in to do what He's called us to do. Fire there means lightning. Think about that. God has called us to greatness concerning His will for us. With that greatness comes the training. This is a process that is not spoken of, but I believe it each believer an injustice, because we've not been taught about God is going to do work in our lives to get our vessels ready to be used. Nobody likes to hear about trials. Nobody likes to go through trials. Nobody likes to go through hard times. I wish it didn't have to be that way either, but flesh being what it is, it has to be that way, all right? What does going through the fire do? It purifies us. We go in one way and come out another. We're vessels being prepared for honor. The good thing is, as we saw in Psalms 23, God is with us. He is in the fire with us. We're going to read Daniel chapter 3. I know you have heard it before, but it was the prime example. When the Lord was speaking this to me, I said, Lord, it doesn't get any better than that. Maybe Paul and Silas, but they literally went into the fire. Okay, go over there. I'll quit bringing it when y'all get it. Or when I get it. Maybe I'm the only one here tonight. Oh, I need to get in the right book. Sorry. You know what? I'll give y'all a break tonight. I'm going to start with verse 14 instead of verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, in other words, but even if he wasn't going to, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. The Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. God's with us. You're not in it by yourself. You're not alone. This is one thing I would like to emphasize about this journey we're on. One thing that has escaped our attention. The fact is that the fire does not consume you. Deliverance happens when you stand your ground. When you go into the fire led by the Holy Spirit, deliverance is the key factor. We do not go into the fire to be consumed. We go into the fire to be delivered, not delivered by our praying and saying and fasting and on and on and all the stuff we think we need to do to get delivered. Do you get that? Like Paul and Silas, they were in the prison, beaten and bleeding in the stocks, but they didn't try to do several hours of intercessory prayer to get a solution to get out of this mess. But they remained at peace and sang praises to God, and God did the delivering. We are not here to deliver ourselves from evil. That is God's job. Remember Psalms 23. It's all good, and the evil is only a shadow. Oh, it's going to just change your attitude if you'll just get that. It's only positive for us, understand? All right. Read a couple of scriptures here. Isaiah 43:2. You know, when other Christians are sitting around pulling their hair out and fretting and everything, and you're just a whistling and just enjoying life, they're going, what's the deal with you? So I got inside information. All right, Isaiah 43:2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Now the devil, he wants you to perish. He wants you to be consumed. He wants you to be drowned. He wants you to be burnt up. But that's not God's plan. Here's another one, Jeremiah 3:29. Well, there's not a 3:29. let's see if it's 13. I might have forgot a one. No, there's. Maybe it's 20. Well, let's look at 29. Well, it's another one just like that. But here's a good one. This is 29:11, for I know the thoughts and the plans I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I encourage you today that as you feel the flames, remember that God is with you. He will not leave you, and he is going to see that good comes our way because we are sticking with him. He's preparing your vessel for his greatness. How great is it to walk through the fire in peace and thanksgiving and come out at the other side untouched? And how much quicker? There's another thing the Holy Spirit ministered to me. He said, all those hours you spend praying in the Spirit, he said, if you just remain at peace and just be joyful, you'd be amazed how answered would come without any effort, because you're not putting your hand to it. You're not putting any toil to it. You're not spinning like the lilies. They don't toil or spin. Do I have to read that one again too? Hebrews 6. They neither toil nor spin. I mean, it's essential. Peace makes the call. Peace makes the call. One more scripture, 1 Peter. 1 Peter 4, 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye shall be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. See, God's glory. When the flesh is no longer an obstacle, what's going to happen? God's glory is going to shine through you. God's greatness will be revealed in you. That's the purpose of getting these vessels ready to do what he's called us to do. Hope this brings you some encouragement and peace today.